Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
A candidate for the Republican nomination for the presidency of the United States was in Pleasantville last week. Let's go in depth with Senator Rick Santorum from Pennsylvania. Senator, that was quite a turnout tonight.
I was very pleased. Ed and Pam Bull did just a tremendous job in opening up their home. And, you know, it's a reflection not just obviously on the interest that people have in the presidential, but I think it's a reflection of the respect that people have for Ed and for Pam that they would come to their home and support what they were doing.
Well, Pleasantville really turned out, and then I saw friends from Pella, from Knoxville, from Bussey, from all over the county, and then folks I didn't recognize, I suspect, came from elsewhere.
Yeah, we had folks from a variety of different counties here, and I was at the Pella parade on Independence Day, and was in Pella also at the Family Leader event a couple of months ago. So this is my third trip into Marion County, and hopefully we're building a little bit of base of support here.
Well, tell us a little bit about yourself for those folks that might not know very much about you.
Well, most important thing is Karen and I have been married 21 years, and we have we've had 8 children. We are raising 7. We had a son, our fourth child, who was born and just lived a very short period of time, passed away after a couple of hours, and his name was Gabriel. But we have children ages now 20 to 3, and they are the center and light of our lives, and one of the reasons I'm running for president. It's an odd thing that you'd think, well, you know, here, a father of 7 and busy in raising those children, but very concerned about the future of our country. And having served 16 years in public life and 4 in the House and 12 in the Senate, I know what's at stake. I know that this election is the most important election since the election of 1860, and that the real heart and soul of America is at stake, whether we are going to be a free people that continues to believe in the dignity and power of the individual and the family, or whether we're going to be someone who a country that is going to go the way of Europe and believe in the power of government and the power of those who can rule us better than we can provide for ourselves and our family and our community.
Well, don't they say that at every election, this is the most important one ever? What's really different about this one?
I come down to one thing, and it's Obamacare. Obamacare is a game changer for America. If Obamacare is implemented, all of America, not just those who are on the margins of life, those who need Medicaid or those who are seniors who need Medicare or Social Security, but you're talking about all of America is going to be dependent upon the federal government for their health and their access to care. Once the federal government has their hooks into you, we know what happens. Look at what Barack Obama did just a couple of days ago when he got his back up against the wall in trying to cut spending. The first thing he did was go out and try to scare seniors who are dependent upon their Social Security checks, tried to scare wives of our military men and women overseas. And when the government has the ability to manipulate you because you now become dependent in some way on them, they control. You lose your freedom. And Obamacare is all about that. That's the reason that he pushed so hard for it to happen. Here we are in a horrible recession, unemployment rate skyrocketing. And what's the president focus on? Creating a new $1 trillion entitlement and increasing taxes and putting more regulation on business. Why would you do that? Other than the fact that you had the opportunity to change America permanently. Margaret Thatcher said that she was never able to accomplish what Ronald Reagan did in saving America from liberalism after the 60s and 70s. And she said the reason for that was the British national healthcare system. She was never able to break that addiction, that bond between the people of Britain and that healthcare system. And as a result, if you look at Britain today, the most conservative member of the British Parliament is to the left of every Democrat in the Congress. And that's the kind of shift that we will see in this country, that we will shift to where we now believe in government instead of free people.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with former Senator Rick Santorum from Pennsylvania. Now, did you think there was that everything was okay with the U.S. healthcare system before?
No, in fact, I had been trying to reform the U.S. healthcare system since I got into Congress in my first term. I actually introduced a bill with now Governor John Kasich of Ohio. He was in the House at the time. And we introduced a bill that said, look, one of two things is going to happen with the healthcare system as it continues to explode and be inefficient and wasteful and consuming more and more of the economy, is that there's going to be someone that's going to control that cost. And ultimately, it's going to either be the government or the people. People are going to have to either take responsibility for managing their healthcare costs, or the government is going to do it for you, because we cannot continue to have a healthcare system where the person consuming the product isn't paying for the product. It leads to overutilization, it leads to waste, it leads to mismanagement, it leads to fraud. We have to have consumers involved, just like we do in controlling the cost of food and controlling the cost of automobiles and houses. It's a marketplace, but there is no marketplace when it comes to healthcare. And we're talking about ordinary and necessary healthcare. Of course, if you're in a catastrophic accident or something like that, that's a different situation. But that's why insurance can handle those, but there should not be insurance for the vast majority of healthcare expenditures in this country. And that's what the vision is versus what President Obama has done, which is to wrest control of all of this decision making and leave it in the hands of government and have them select who's going to get care and when they're going to get it.
Well, let's go back a little bit. The Republicans had how many years when they had a Republican president, Republican House, Republican Senate, and they didn't do anything about health care? If there was a problem, why not do something when the Republicans had the power?
Principally, the reason we didn't, one of the things I wanted to do was to expand the access to health insurance through tax credits for folks who didn't have employer-provided health care. So that's one thing we could have done. The reason we didn't, because it spent money, and there wasn't a willingness to offset that spending in some other area of government. So I proposed it. It didn't pass. We did do some things. We passed something called health savings accounts. Health savings accounts was a piece of legislation that did exactly what I suggested, which was to shift more, create an opportunity for people to take more responsibility for their health care. And those programs were growing in the country. They were not designed as well as they could, but we had it was sort of a pilot program going. That has been scaled back by this president was pretty much eliminated by the Obamacare. So we did do some things. We should have and could have done more. But what we didn't have the ability to write what we wanted, because we never had a situation that Barack Obama did, which is to have a Democratic president, a Democratic House, and a filibuster-proof majority in the Senate. We never had anywhere near that when George Bush was in office, and so therefore we had to always compromise with the other side in drafting legislation, and so we could never get... Remember, they want a system like Obamacare, where the government controls things. They do not support a private sector healthcare system where consumers are in charge. And so we could never get something that really moved the healthcare system in that direction.
Let's talk a little bit about tactics. Your talk this evening and discussions I've seen you give before, it's pretty clear that you're running against President Obama. And that's long term. However, tactically, you're not running. You don't have President Obama to run against yet. You've got a bunch of Republicans to run against yet, but you didn't mention any of them. I haven't seen you mention any of them, and I know you're going to tell me you're taking the high ground, but is that high ground, as you see it, going to help you win first the Ames straw poll and then the Iowa caucuses?
Well, I do differentiate myself, but I try to do it in a more general sense. I mean, I talk about my experience. No one has the experience I have in getting things done in Washington, D.C., fact. That's just a fact. And we've accomplished things that no one else in the race can point to, like welfare reform and more cultural issues like the Born Alive and Protection Act and partial birth abortion bill and major national security pieces of legislation. No one has that pedigree that I do of getting conservative things done in a bipartisan way in Washington, D.C. That's A. B, and I talk about the fact that I have been a consistent conservative. You can go back and look at my record. Never supported government-run health care. I've never supported cap and trade. I didn't support TARP. I didn't support a lot of the things that a lot of Republicans got off the reservation and forgot who they were. And I represented a tough state, a state that's a very tough state for Republicans to win and conservatives to get elected. And I was able to do that and be a conservative in good times and bad, someone who was fought for limited government when it wasn't popular. We were running surpluses. I was fighting for limited government. And I think I distinguished myself in that respect, where you have other candidates who have not been consistent over time. You have candidates who don't have a track record of success, people who go out and say, you know, trust me, I'll do this because I say I'm going to do it. Well, I've proven I'm going to do it. You can trust me because I've done it. And I think that is a differentiator between me. And the other thing is a differentiator is I've been able to win tough elections. If you look at the people in this race right now, I mean, you have a couple of governors who were not able to get a majority of the votes in their own states. They got a plurality of the votes, but they never got a majority of their votes. You have one who ran once and never ran for reelection. You have another one who, again, won with far less than a majority of the votes to get elected in the state. You have another person who's in this race who's never run for any, a couple people, never run for any office before. You have those who are congressmen in this race who only represented the safest of Republican districts in their state, one in Georgia, one in Minnesota. They were the most Republican districts in the state, and both times they barely won. Is that the kind of candidate who's going to have a broad appeal to be able to go out and win an election in a tough competitive race against a very formidable Democrat? I beat three Democratic incumbents. No one else has beat a Democratic incumbent in this field. And I was elected in a tough state with a majority when President Bush was losing the state. So I've got a track record both politically and as well as from a policy perspective that I think matches up very, very well with them. And I do try to differentiate myself on that, but I'm not attacking anybody. I'm not going to go out and criticize them. I'm just going to point out the facts that we're in a better position to do well in this race than they would be.
You still haven't named any names. It's pretty interesting to me that you're going to have to beat Michelle Bachmann, Tim Pawlenty, Mitt Romney, and a whole bunch of other people. And yet you're talking generally. For example, why not say, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I haven't been able to find a piece of legislation that Michelle Bachmann introduced and got passed. And is that
because
a fact?
She hasn't. And that goes back to I've talked about it in general terms. I have the experience and I've gotten things done. I talked today about, you know, how we're going to fix this this problem with the debt ceiling. And, you know, I've come out and said that, you know, we need to find a way to accomplish our principles. And that means you don't go into negotiations and said, unless I get everything I want, which is what Congresswoman Bachmann said. She said, I want this, 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 and this. Unless I get everything, I'm not voting for it. That's not leadership. That's showmanship. I mean, that's not a responsible way to go into any kind of negotiation. Of course, nobody's going to walk into negotiation and negotiate with you if you say you're not going to, unless we give you everything we want and nothing that you want, that we're going to agree. I mean, I understand there's a role for that to be played. If you're a radio talk show host, or if you want to lead a political movement, but not if you want to lead the country. And so I focused in on tonight. I talked about what are the two things we want to accomplish in this debt ceiling negotiation. Well, the two things that conservatives and Tea Party members want to accomplish: they want to balance the budget and they want to limit the size of government. There's a way to do that. It's called the Balanced Budget Amendment. And what does the president want? Well, the president doesn't want to cut spending right now. He thinks it's important to keep spending for our economy. Fine. We'll give him what he wants. You give us what we want. And we both do well. People will complain, well, you didn't cut any spending now. Yeah, but we just told the markets and we just told the country that in 8 years, we're going to get to a balanced budget instead of having at 18% of GDP. Right now, we're spending 25% of GDP. And we're going to cut that down to 18 because we're going to have a constitutional amendment that requires us to do it. That is a meaningful, dramatic change in Washington, D.C., where we get what we want to accomplish. The president gets what he wants to accomplish.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with former Senator Rick Santorum from Pennsylvania. Do you think the people of Iowa are going to hear your message?
50 cities in 15 days. That's what we're doing. And we're working very, very hard to get in front of folks. I don't know, we had probably 100 people here tonight, I suspect. And, you know, those 100 people go out if they like what they hear. You know, this is, whether it's the straw poll or the caucus, it's about folks who are activists, who pay attention, particular attention to this race. And can you run a grassroots campaign for president in Iowa? The answer is, thankfully, yes, you can. And we're working hard on everybody else. We're, by the time the straw poll hits, we'll have 130 visits, 130 meetings, just like we had tonight, at public libraries and diners and coffee shops and backyards and living rooms. And I think that'll make the difference. I think folks in Iowa don't want to see you on TV. They want to see you in the living room. And they want to see what's in your mind, what's in your heart, and what's, and there's any fire in that belly. And you don't get that across on a 30-second TV ad. You get it across by going to meet with folks. And I can't tell you the number of people tonight, because, you know, I came here undecided, but I'm for you. Or I came here for another candidate, but I'm for you. And I didn't know much about you. But once I hear you, then I like what I hear. And that's I hear that everywhere I go, and I'm encouraged by that.
There's one other question I'm going to ask you before we close, and it's something that's very important in rural Ireland, something that Iowans, that rural Iowans, not so much from people from Des Moines, care about. And it's a question I ask all the politicians. Can you get me close to the price of corn and beans? Can you get me within a dollar?
I know corn's about $6.57, something like that. At $6.80, something like that.
That's real close.
Beans, I'm not as good at. It's a lot more, but I know. I heard it the other day on the Ag Report, and I never really followed the price of beans before, because of course the big policy issues around corn, as you know, with ethanol and everything. But I was surprised, you know. I was surprised as much. Let's see.
Ballpark me $2.
I can't, I'd be embarrassed to say, because I'm not sure. So okay. I'm gonna have to put
just
on
shy
that.
Of 13, but you got corn.
Yeah, I thought it was more, but I couldn't remember what it was, and I knew it was more, but I was gonna say 20. That's so I'm glad I didn't say that. But
I'm not gonna be the last person to ask you.
But that. I always have a question I always ask my staff. And I was on the Ag Committee for 10 years.
I figured you would know that. I knew you were.
I'm surprised. I just forgot. I can tell you a lot of things. I can tell you milk prices. I can tell you a lot of other things. But I always used to ask this question of my staff, as, you know, particularly folks that come in ag. And I got the asking people here in my Iowa staff. And you can tell folks in rural Iowa versus folks from Des Moines. We got a lot of folks from the city. And I always ask the question, how many ears on a stalk of corn? I've gotten answers that will make your hair curl. Now, and for you, that's a big deal, right?
That's a big deal.
That's right. And so I used to always ask that question. And even here in Iowa, I got as many as 20, believe it or not. Iowans telling there's 20 years on a stock of corn. So that's one of my tests. So everybody on my staff knows how many years there are on the average stock of corn. So I just want you to know that.
Okay, and how many are there?
Well, usually one. There are occasionally two. And there obviously can be three, but it's usually just a little thing.
Just a little thing.
One. There you go.
All right. I'll give you the last word. What's the last thought you'd like to share with the people of Marion County?
I would say to the people of Marion County that I know this is a good, solid, conservative area that cares about faith, family, and individual freedom, responsibility. And, that's the buzzword. That's why this county has done so well over the years. And if you want someone who represents those values, who does what they say and says what I will do, then you should really seriously consider supporting us and hopefully going to Ames and helping us. This is an opportunity for us to bust out of the field and to get some notice from the media, who, frankly, doesn't want to see a strong conservative candidate out there against Barack Obama. They've lifted up a lot of candidates that have a lot of, well, let's say, have a lot of holes in their sails. And they know they have a lot of holes in their sails. That's why they're giving them a lot of publicity. Well, the last thing they want to do is give me a lot of publicity, because the only thing they can do is attack me for being a conservative and attack me for being someone who's gone out and fought the battles and won those battles. And And so I'm hopeful that the people here, I'm confident the more people get a chance to see me, look at my record, do the research, that we'll do very, very well. So please give us an opportunity and take a look at us, and hopefully we'll see you at Ames. And when you get to Ames, I think I said this tonight, that you'll get to see what kind of real ag guy is. I actually grow fruit trees in my yard, and we picked some peaches before we left for Iowa and made some peach jam at the house. And if you come to the Ames Straw Poll and come to our tent, you get a little sample of my homegrown, homemade peach jam. So that's another enticement to come up to Ames and help us out.
Thanks to Senator Rick Santorum for contributing to the program.
For KNIA, KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.